peace of mind with Lippman Crooks.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm Bernie Crooks from the law firm Lippman Crooks. We're based right here in White Plains with offices in Fishkill and New York City. Or you can visit us online at lippmancrooks.com. We're heard every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. right here on 1230 on your dial at WFAS AM. Tonight, our guest is Ellen Kravitz. Ellen's a partner at the law firm Lippman Crooks. Ellen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bernie.
It is great to have you here, Ellen. So if I was in an elevator, Ellen, and I ask you, what do you do for a living? What would you tell me?
I am an elder law attorney.
And what do elder law attorneys do? Do you have to be old to need an elder law attorney?
No. Anybody over the age of 18 could probably seek the services of an elder law attorney because in addition to your traditional trusts and estates, wills and trusts, we also have the ability to plan.
So why do people need to plan? Can't they wait till something happens and then do it then? I mean, what's the whole big deal about planning?
Nobody likes to plan when something catastrophic happens. The idea is to have peace of mind, to know that all your ducks are in a row, to know what's going to happen when you pass away, but more importantly, to know what's going to happen in the event that you should become sick. And there's going to be somebody there to step into your shoes and take care of things for you.
So are you saying that people should plan now, healthy people should plan now for a day when they might be sick at some point in the future?
Absolutely.
And what happens if they don't plan?
Well, financially, they may have to use a significant amount of their assets towards the cost of their care, whether it be at home or in a nursing facility. And in addition, they may have had ideas about how they wanted to sprinkle their money to beneficiaries at the end of their life, and they're not going to be able to effectuate their wishes.
But what if they say, I'm never going into a nursing home? I mean, isn't that what most people want anyway?
Well, most people say, I'll never go into a nursing home. I'll never need that. But, you know, as we know, one never knows what'll happen and whether it'll be medically necessary for somebody to have to reside in a nursing facility. And therefore, people should think in advance of the fact that they're going to have health needs. As we get older, you know, our bodies change and people need assistance, whether it be at home or in an adult daycare center. And you have to keep in mind that illness is not discriminatory in terms of age.
All right. So we're talking about what happens if somebody who's healthy now gets sick in the future and needs to go into a nursing home. Is that expensive?
It's very expensive. And one of the things that people need to consider is the purchase of long-term care insurance.
But how expensive? I mean, it can't be that big. How expensive is it?
Obviously, if you purchase a policy when you're younger in age, the premiums are going to be significantly less. And you'll have, again, a security blanket to know that it'll cover and hopefully a large portion of the cost of care as one would need it.
But a lot of people don't want to buy long-term care insurance because they're putting money in their 529 plan for their kids' retirement. They're replenishing their 401k account, which is still relatively small compared to what it used to look like during the dot-com era. So many people, although they should, don't buy long-term care insurance. So if somebody gets sick and needs a nursing home, what can they expect to look at financially in terms of cost of care in the nursing home in the Westchester metropolitan area?
Well, you're looking at least $15,000 a month towards the cost of care in a nursing facility. And then especially if that individual has a spouse and their spouse is in the community, they're going to be concerned about making sure that their spouse is still has that same quality of life and their lifestyle shouldn't be compromised for their medical expenses.
So $15,000 a month. So if I heard you correctly, that's close to $200,000 a year, right?
That is correct.
And is there anything in this new health care plan that's going to cover that? I've been reading a lot in the papers about this. Is that going to make me happier?
It's not going to make you happier.
So despite the fact that we spent a year debating this, there's not much in there that's going to help alleviate the cost of nursing home care?
No.
All right, so what do people do?
Well, people can perhaps decide to consult with an elder law attorney and maybe do some long-term range planning. And one of the things that, you know, we need to look at is somebody's, obviously, their income and their assets, their family structure to determine, you know, what we can do.
All right. So now we know it's important to plan, because if you don't plan, then you could be subjecting yourself and your family to this catastrophic expense if you happen to end up in a nursing home. And if you do plan, you could potentially protect some or all of your life savings. So if the equation is so simple, I guess the question is, why doesn't everybody plan?
I think people are procrastinators, thinking it's never going to happen to them. It's like the person who says, I don't want to sign a healthcare proxy because I'll always be able to make healthcare decisions for myself. You know what? We just don't know what's going to happen when any one of us walks out the door.
Is it true that that person who says, I'm always going to be able to make healthcare decisions for myself, is it true that they are going to be able to?
Not necessarily. I mean, they can develop some form of dementia. And although they can maybe, you know, make certain decisions, they may not be able to make difficult medical decisions in terms of what type of treatment they would need or require or what kind of care they would require. And in those instances, either that individual, if they were smart enough to sign a healthcare proxy, their healthcare agent can make those decisions. If not, we're going to resort to going to a court and having a judge make that decision.
I'm speaking with Ellen Kravitz, who's a partner at the law firm Littman Crooks, and Ellen has devoted her entire professional career to the field of elder law and special needs planning. And we're talking about how important it is for you all out there to plan. If you don't plan, you could end up bankrupting your entire life savings. And if you do plan, you can potentially save it all. So the question is, why doesn't everybody do it? And we're talking about procrastinating. Do you think it's also maybe people don't like to deal with attorneys, or maybe they think it's too expensive? I mean, you've talked to a lot of people about this, Ellen. What are some of the more common reasons why people don't engage in the planning?
I think it's a combination of those issues, is that everybody's scared to go to an attorney to talk about what really we consider life and death issues. You know, it's one thing somebody uses an attorney to sell their home or purchase a home. It's another thing to have to go sit with an attorney and talk about issues that could be very sensitive in nature.
Does it mean that if you talk to an attorney about going into a nursing home or dying, that that's going to happen to you?
No, but you know what? There are some people that are very superstitious, and they are the philosophy, you know, if I talk about this, something bad's going to happen.
So what do we do for them?
Well, we work as hard as we can to convince them otherwise, that the importance of really taking the time to make sure that what their wishes are can be effectuated in the event that they have some type of long-term illness.
All right. So now if the money doesn't motivate you or the preservation of the money doesn't motivate you, there are other reasons why it's important to plan. You mentioned earlier healthcare decisions. Can I make my own decisions after talking to my doctor about what's going to happen to me?
You certainly can, unless it's determined that you are incapacitated or you have some functional limitation that prevents you from being able to articulate what your wishes are.
Well, okay, then I guess my family will just decide, right?
Well, no, it doesn't work like that. Same way it doesn't work when, you know, if you're meeting with a husband and wife and the husband says, oh, well, then my wife will make all the decisions or she'll be able to access my IRA account. It doesn't work that way. You have to have legal documents in place to allow those people that you designate to be able to take care of things.
So you mean to tell me that if I get sick and I can't talk to my doctor, that my loved ones can't necessarily make decisions for me?
Well, they'll be able to make some medical decisions for you, but it's always in your best interest to lay it out in terms of who will actually make those decisions and who will be the chief communicator with your physician or a hospital.
But what are you talking about, a DNR?
No, we're talking about a general healthcare proxy to make any and all healthcare decisions for you. Most importantly, it's decisions regarding artificial nutrition and hydration. You may have very specific views as to whether you would want a feeding tube or not, and without a healthcare proxy, it's going to be difficult for anybody to direct the doctor to make any other decision other than what the doctor feels is in your best interest.
So even if I have a DNR, I can't necessarily rely solely on that.
No, well, your DNR is only if you stop breathing. What happens if you stop eating and somebody wants to put in a feeding tube? That becomes a separate issue.
Boy, I love to eat too much. I can't imagine ever stopping eating, at least not voluntarily.
You and me both.
And so I've been reading in the news lately, something came out of Albany that a new law was passed that gives family members greater decision-making authority for a loved one who's ill. Has that helped at all?
Well, it's brand new legislation that just happened in April, the beginning of this month, and you know, one of the things is that it's new. And so we're going to have to, as attorneys, as healthcare providers, and doctors, are going to have to sort through and make these determinations. There is a hierarchy in the statute that talks about who can make decision healthcare decisions if somebody is in a hospital or in a nursing facility in limited instances.
With all the activity going on in Washington and Albany, or inactivity, depending on how you look at it, it's good to know that they're at least focusing on something of importance and that they're aware of the issues regarding healthcare decision-making, and hopefully this new legislation that you spoke about will move us in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. Our guest this week is Ellen Kravitz, a partner in the law firm Littman Crooks. We've been talking about elder law. After this short break, we'll come back and discuss with Ellen a different area of practice called special needs planning. We'll be right back.
All his life, little Stevie has been special. When he grows up, he probably won't be able to live on his own or work to support himself. Stevie's parents already worry about what will become of their sweet boy after they're gone. Kim was a corporate executive until a drunk driver ended her career and nearly her life. Now she has a traumatic brain injury, a sizable settlement, but no clear plan for the future. Stevie and Kim could each use a special needs trust to secure their finances, care, and maximum independence while letting them keep their public benefits such as SSI and Medicaid. Who can set up a special needs trust? The law firm of Littman Crooks, members of the Special Needs Alliance, a national network of disability and public benefits lawyers. If you or someone you love has special needs, greater peace of mind is just a phone call away. Call Littman Crooks today, 684-2100, or visit littmancrooks.com, because special people need special plans.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm with the law firm Littman Crooks. To learn more about what we're doing and some of our community events, you can check out our calendar online at littmancrooks.com. We've just moved our offices in Dutchess County recently, and we'll be having a little get-together in about a week or so. So to learn more about that, please go to the website. Our guest this week is Ellen Kravitz, and in this segment, we'll be talking with Ellen about special needs planning. Special needs planning, Ellen, what do people generally mean when they talk about special needs planning?
It's for people or individuals, whether they be children, young adults, grown adults, who have special needs, whether they are learning disabled, have physical disabilities, and they may be on government benefits or may become eligible for government benefits.
Now, is planning for family member with special needs any different than planning for a typical family and doing the regular estate planning?
No, it's completely different. And all too often, people who are doing their planning don't realize the importance of letting their attorney know that there is a family member who is disabled, because certain measures must be taken to ensure that that individual is properly protected.
Now, why can't people just go to their regular wills or trust attorney to do this? Does it really require a different kind of expert?
I believe that it does. The important part of an attorney who specializes in the area of special needs is their awareness of government entitlements and the effect of any type of inheritance or distribution that could adversely affect one's entitlements.
All right, so the typical scenario would be a child with a developmental disability or maybe on the autism spectrum who may or may not be receiving some type of assistance from the government, and perhaps the parents have some net worth, and they're concerned that if something happened to the parents, what would happen to the child?
That is correct.
So what would happen if the child inherits the money? What happens after that?
Well, I mean, you know, if these issues are not taken into consideration, and typically on the whole, parents will leave their inheritance for a child in a trust for their benefit. But if the trust is not properly set up there are provisions in place, that child who does have these developmental disabilities can be adversely affected when they look to try and pursue some government benefits to either cover some educational issues or medical issues.
So what's so special about a special needs trust? Isn't it just any other kind trust that will do, or does it really have to be a special needs trust?
It has to be a special needs trust. There have to be provisions in the document that authorize a trustee to be able to do certain things or to take certain actions with regard to the income and the principal of the trust in such a way that beneficiary who does have some type of special needs will continue to maintain their benefits or may become eligible for those benefits in the future.
Now, if you put money or a parent puts money in a special needs trust, doesn't that disqualify the child or other beneficiary from the benefits? Aren't they limited to how much money they can have?
No, if a parent is setting up a trust for their child's benefit and it's the parent's money that's being used to fund this trust, that money will not adversely affect that child's eligibility.
Even though it's in the child's special needs trust?
Even though it's in the child's special needs trust. The child's the beneficiary, but the child is not directing how that money is going to be spent.
I mean, is that some loophole in the law, or is there actually a federal law that says this is how it works?
No, there's a federal law that says this is how it works. You know, years ago, parents who had, or individuals who had family members who had special needs were typically disinherited from an estate plan because the parents were so concerned about affecting their government benefits. And, you know, over time and under federal law and even New York state law, we've grown more aware of the needs of these individuals and the importance of parents being able to set up these special types of trusts.
This is the Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney Show. I'm speaking with Ellen Kravitz about special needs planning. And Ellen, you mentioned years ago people used to disinherit the child with special needs. So what's wrong with that? Why isn't that a good plan?
Well, what they would do is they would almost place a burden on maybe the child has a sibling and the sibling was in good health, and that they would have to be responsible, or they would have it on their shoulders as being the inheritor of all this money to make sure that their brother would be well taken care of. And instead of having to do that, wouldn't it be nice if a parent could set aside money in a trust knowing that they would have provided for that child, and that child can get both the government benefits that they're entitled to, as well as being able to supplement their lifestyle and to give them a better quality of life.
Well, let's just follow that thought through for a second. If you gave all the money to the child who doesn't have special needs, and that child got divorced or had other problems, would the money still be there for the special needs child?
Not necessarily, and that's another concern. You have to remember who you're leaving your money to in terms of what their lifestyle is like. Maybe that sibling is a spendthrift, and will go to Las Vegas, spend all the money, and then all the wishes that their parents had said, I want you to take care of your brother, will no longer be effectuated.
So sometimes, even though you have the best well-intentioned plans, after the parents pass away, they don't necessarily work out the way people thought they would?
That's correct.
But with a special needs trust, you have more certainty that their wishes will be carried out?
Absolutely.
So who is typically the trustee of this trust?
It could be another family member. It could be a family friend. It could also be some type of corporate fiduciary, somebody that they know, a financial institution who can manage the money and maybe even perhaps have a family member as a co-trustee.
Is it one size fits all, or it really depends on the individual circumstances of the particular family?
It's all individualized. There is no cookie cutter, plain vanilla will. There's no cookie cutter, plain vanilla special needs trust.
So this is not necessarily something that the listeners can download a form on the internet and sign it and get it notarized and then go to sleep thinking everything's okay.
Absolutely not. And chances are, if they're going to do something like that, they're going to wind up consulting, or somebody's going to wind up consulting with an attorney down the road to realize that the trust was improperly done.
Have you ever had any experience where somebody tried to take a shortcut and then they passed away, and then the family came to you and you had to work with a trust that wasn't drafted properly and ended up costing the family a lot more money and time?
Oh, never mind costing the family a lot more money and time, but where, you know, they would have, those assets would have been protected after the beneficiary with special needs passed away. Now, all of a sudden, the trust has to be modified in such a way that now the government may now get a piece of the action at the end of the day.
And certainly that's not what was intended.
Never intended. I don't think that anybody ever considers Uncle Sam or the Department of Social Services as a family member that they wish to give money to at the end of their life.
I think a lot of people might even argue they get enough during their lifetime.
I would say so.
And from what I hear, that share's even going up, right?
That is correct.
So let's just finish on one more thought here before we've got to take a break. The special needs trust, is that also subject to taxation?
That may be subject to estate taxes or to gift taxes and income taxes. It all depends on how it's structured.
But is it going to create any extra taxes that the people wouldn't otherwise have to pay if
no.
they didn't have the trust?
No, it will not.
All right, so there's no tax. If it's done right, I just want people to understand, there should not be any additional tax cost of creating these types of trusts.
That is correct.
I'm speaking with Ellen Kravitz, a partner in the law firm Lippman Crooks. During this segment, we've discussed special needs planning. After the break, we'll get into another practice area called veterans benefits. We'll be right back.
I can't believe we're packing all this up. Is the storage space big enough?
Mom will just sell what doesn't fit.
We can't tell Dad we sold a house. It'll make things worse.
There must have been another way to pay for his care.
She said they talked about a plan, but once he had the stroke, it was too late.
Well, they're going to move him to a new facility.
Mom, that's over an hour away.
There's nothing I can do. I'll find an apartment. Maybe I'll get a job.
A job?
I have no choice. Dad can't be left alone.
Peace of mind with Lippman Crooks.
Nobody knows what the future holds, so make sure your assets and loved ones are protected. Elder Law addresses the quality of life needs of people over 50, including long-term care, estate planning, and special needs trusts. Plan for your future. Call Lippman Crooks today or learn more at LippmanCrooks.com.
Lippman Crooks, protecting your loved ones and your life savings. Call 684-2100.
Peace of mind with Lippman Crooks.
That's LippmanCrooks.com or call 684-2100.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Bernie Crooks from Lippman Crooks, based right here in White Plains. Our guest this week is Ellen Kravitz, a partner in the firm. And we'll go to the third leg of Ellen's practice here. We've been talking about elder law, special needs, and now we're going to get into veterans benefits, which is a relatively new area for the firm to get into. And I guess the threshold question, Ellen, would be, why would somebody turn to an attorney to help them with veterans benefits?
Well, I don't know necessarily that every veteran realized that there are some hidden treasured benefits that are available to them that they're unaware of.
So there may be some things that maybe the VA is not sending out notices saying, come and get it, that you really have to dig a little deeper?
Correct.
All right, so what are some of those pearls?
Well, some of those pearls are the fact that if somebody has medical expenses, whether they be for an assisted living facility or a nursing home, that there may be certain VA benefits that veteran is entitled to that they may be unaware of.
So these are benefits that somebody who's not a veteran would not be entitled to?
That is correct.
And are they going to help? You mentioned earlier in the show that long-term care and nursing home expenses can run $150,000 to $200,000 a year. Will these benefits help offset some of those costs?
They certainly will.
And are there additional benefits that they might be entitled to that would not necessarily be related to any service-connected injury?
Yes, that's correct. There are usually typically two types of disabilities or in terms of getting any type of benefits. One is if somebody has an injury that's service-connected, and then there are non-service-connected benefits such as a low income pension. You may have a household benefit where somebody may receive some home care benefits. And the biggest one that we have is aid in attendance.
What's that mean?
Aid in attendance will provide a stipend for individuals, whether it's the veteran themselves or even the veteran's spouse, if the veteran is deceased, to contribute towards the cost of care in an assisted living facility or even in a nursing home.
So give us an approximation. Are we talking about a couple hundred a month, or is this something closer to a couple $1,000 a month in benefits?
No, it's closer to a couple of $1,000 a month in benefits. I mean, what happens is that the VA is going to look at that applicant's countable income. So if we've got a husband and wife, they look at both of their income, whether it income is Social Security, pensions, interest from bank accounts, IRAs, trusts, and if their income is above, let's say on an annual basis, $20,000 a year, if it's an individual, then the VA has to make a determination as to whether that individual is entitled to aid and attendance.
So not all veterans are entitled to the same benefits.
That is correct.
So is part of what you do counseling veterans as to the different types of benefits that are available and also which ones might be appropriate for them?
That is correct.
And if they do need benefits, will you also assist them in connection with the application for those benefits?
Well, what we'd like to do is there is a veteran service organization that can help a veteran with the actual application process. In some instances, there are assisted living facilities who will actually assist with the application itself. We as attorneys can help them gather all the necessary documentation that they need to provide when they make that application. Usually it's part of the whole estate planning process that we're doing as a firm in terms of making clients aware of potential benefits that they may be entitled to and then serving them with guidance as to how they can secure them.
And isn't it true that according to the government guidelines, the actual filing of the application is done at no cost to the veteran?
That is correct.
So the hard part is figuring out what you should be applying for, what you're eligible for, and then once you do that, you can have either some outside organization or someone who's qualified to do so to assist you with the application.
That's correct. I think sometimes even is that veterans often do not enroll themselves into the healthcare system, the veterans healthcare system, because they prefer, for whatever reasons, they have their doctor for their physician for a longstanding period of time. Their physician is not out of a veterans hospital. And so they're not even enrolled in the system yet. So you have to get enrolled in the system first, and then you're able to take advantage of some of the things as a veteran that you're entitled to.
Now, how do these veterans benefits coordinate or fit into the overall estate plan?
Well, what it allows veterans to do and their family, and you know, especially their spouses, is to be able to figure out how we're going to be able to do planning, who's going to be paying for the cost of long-term care, or what benefits may they be entitled to now that maybe they can keep their health condition as a status quo and maintain themselves in the community.
So you can't look at this in a vacuum.
No, you cannot look at this. This is all just a small piece of the pie for those clients who happen to have provided service to our country.
So it's almost like, it seems like it's almost like a jigsaw puzzle where it doesn't make sense until you get that last piece in place.
That's 100% correct. And I think all too often people forget, or veterans forget, to even tell an attorney who's doing their estate plan that they are a veteran. That, you know, they're very proud that they've served for this country, but the other thing is they don't realize that there are other benefits that they might be entitled to.
So they just sometimes think it's completely irrelevant when in fact it's not.
That is correct.
I'm Bernie Quirks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm speaking with Ellen Kravitz. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back to wrap up. Sometimes we're presented with questions that are difficult to face.
Mommy, I don't like my scary dreams.
I know, but Mommy will always be here to make them go away.
But Mommy?
Yes, dear?
Who will make them go away if you die?
Unless we have effective answers to these questions, the results can be financially and emotionally devastating. Littman Crooks provides legal expertise for special needs trusts and estate planning so your loved ones will always be taken care of. For persons with disabilities, a special needs trust can enhance their quality of life while maintaining their public benefits. As a member of the Special Needs Alliance, we design wills, trusts, powers of attorney, and health care directives tailored to your family's situation. Plan for the future today. Call Littman Crooks or visit littmancrooks.com.
Littman Crooks, protecting your loved ones and your life savings. Call 684-2100.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
That's littmancrooks.com or call 684-2100.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We've been speaking with Ellen Kravitz, a partner in the law firm Littman Crooks, about veterans benefits, elder law, and special needs planning. And I guess, Ellen, after having done this for a couple of decades now, it's got to be rewarding when you help people deal with the system, isn't it?
It really is. It's not only about, you know, saving estate taxes, as the case may be, but to actually make a difference in people's lives, to be able to advise them or counsel them to make sure that their wishes are going to be effectuated while they're alive, to know that they can, you know, that grandma can provide for her grandchild. You know, those are very important things. And to actually see it take place while somebody's alive is even more gratifying.
So do you ever get that success story where someone tells you, listen, I'm so glad I came to see you a couple of years ago because such and such a thing happened, and now we're really, really happy that we took care of this?
Absolutely. And you know what? That's the greatest gift that you can give somebody, is that they can come back to you and say, you know what, Ellen, I took your advice. I did what you told me to do. You were right. And, you know, we thank you for it.
A lawyer making a difference. Ellen Kravitz, partner at Littman Crooks, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Bernie.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. We'll see everyone next week at 6:05 p.m. right here on WFAS AM 1230. Good night, everyone.